Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Today, this morning, they hope to get this finished to pick the final 5 alternates in this trial in order to kick off the opening statements on Monday. The alternates, of course, are used during the trial in case one of the regular jurors drops out for some reason. And as far as the jury is concerned, well, they have been chosen. They consist of 7 men and 5 women. Their jobs range from working in finance to healthcare. One of them is a teacher.
So that was a broad overview of who's on the jury. You've probably, if you've been following the news, been hearing these very detailed descriptions of each juror, everything but their name. Where did this come from? When did this become a thing we do?
I don't like it.
He's an Upper West Side firefighter, is age 57, reads the, okay, go as far as you can to try to, so one of the people that backed out yesterday, who was already seated, backed out because their family identified them just from the news report, said, oh, you got on the jury. And when they realized that, wow, my mom watching the news at home figured out I was on the jury, that frightens me, they told the judge and were excused.
Well, right, and I agree completely. If I heard he's a 53-year-old tax lawyer from the Upper West Side who reads the New York Times, I'd think, hey, that's just like Ed. And then when Ed said, I'm going to be out for a couple of weeks, please.
Right. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, so I was watching some of your lefty media yesterday, and they of course, were referring to, you know, some of these jurors who lean Trump are going to be outed and doxed. You're telling me that ain't going to happen the other direction? If he's acquitted, that the lefty crowd out there isn't going to dox the people that let Trump off the hook? This only goes one direction? You got to be kidding me.
It's bad enough and toxic enough that we live in a period where people don't want to get into politics. When we need them sorely. Think of all the really good, smart, productive people that could be in Congress, for instance. But they're like, I don't want a piece of that. I don't want to get anywhere near that. If that sort of poison extends to the jury system. Now, granted, not every trial is a high profile trial. But man, that's a creeping infection we do not want to let get going.
One potential juror yesterday had made it so far through the process. They were close to being seated when the lawyer representing the Trump side brought up the potential juror's vitriolic social media posts to try to get her struck for cause. So this is a person that said they had announced that they could be fair and unbiased in the trial and did not have strong opinions. They mentioned a tweet where this person had called Trump a sexist, racist, narcissist, and another post where they said, I wouldn't believe Donald Trump if his tongue were notarized. I feel like that maybe you have a solid view of whether or not you can believe what he says.
Sounds a little biasy to me. his tongue were notarized. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's in the modern world, this is something that didn't exist before. You can go through somebody's social media history and get a pretty decent idea where they are politically and how far they are that direction. Back in the day, you'd have had to interview all their closest friends to have the slightest idea.
I just came across some more data on that topic about how few people drive all of the online vitriol on politics. It's not a surprise, but it's not that many people. Another side topic to the Trump trial, putting aside the facts of the case and the rest of it, is the whole gag order thing. Were you going to bring that up, or I don't want to steal your thunder?
No.
It's just interesting that the judge, for reasons that are at least semi-legitimate, says, look, you can't be bad-mouthing me and my family and the court clerk and the witnesses. But it went a little far to include the witnesses. So now you have Michael Cohen doing the rounds, calling Trump, 100 kinds of fiend. And Trump is not allowed to respond at all. And we are into seriously gray First Amendment areas.
Wow.
In fact, I think looking at the description, I don't have it in front of me, but the description of the gag order, it's too broad. It is indefensible.
Well, this is going to get nailed down at some point because trial's got, 6 weeks to go. Trump's going to say something that crosses the line in the judge's mind. They're going to challenge it, and it's going to have to get decided at a high level in a court. I think that's inevitable, don't you?
Yeah, he's already on the verge of finding Trump in contempt.
Sure.
And fining him. And then the judge said,
would he throw him in jail? That'd be something.
Where is that? That future violations of the gag order can be punished not only with additional fines, but also with a term of incarceration of up to 30 days.
You put Trump in jail for 30 days. Well, if you want a revolution in the streets, that'd be a good way to get it. Trump came out of the courtroom yesterday, and I was watching live on CNN when it happened, and apparently Jake Tapper even stated that they're going to air what Trump says when he comes out of the courtroom every day, because they feel it's only fair since the other side they air what the other side says. Anyway, Trump came out of the courtroom and said this yesterday.
And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room, freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this, and this is your result. It's very unfair, very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax.
I didn't think climate control would be his main complaint. I'm a little surprised by that.
We got this text. I'm a freelance court reporter who's worked in about 20 different courthouses. They all have freezing courtrooms to the point my fingers have gotten so cold I could hardly move them, and my nose is dripping. But because my hands are busy typing, I can't even wipe my nose. They say it's
gotta be.
They say they do it to keep people awake. I've seen more than a few jurors fall asleep during testimony.
That's why we've kept the studio Arctic cold since the beginning of our career. Is you can't get groggy and sluggish if you're freezing. David Letterman famously had a studio. He kept his studio Arctic. Just so nobody gets, sluggish.
But man, to the point that your fingers are so cold.
That's too cold.
Yeah. Other presidential election development yesterday. Two things with whole RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr. First of all, the Kennedy clan, a whole bunch of them came forward, 15 of them, and did a little press conference or a statement together, not backing their family member, their fellow Kennedy, but backing Joe Biden. Play me clip 70. I think you'll notice something here about Kerry Kennedy.
Members of the Kennedy family, including brothers and sisters of presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., throwing their support behind President Biden. Concerned RFK Jr. will hand the White House back to Donald Trump.
The best way forward for America is to re-elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to 4 more years.
Biden, who recently welcomed the family to the White House, has called RFK Jr.'s father his political hero. His bust sits in the Oval Office.
So do all the Kennedys sound like that? Why do they all talk like that? What's that voice problem?
It's a rare disorder. I know for RFK...
And his aunt or whoever that was has it too.
Spasmodic dysphonia, a specific form of an involuntary movement disorder. Yeah, that's fine. It was interesting. I don't mean to be hurtful, but did it look to anybody else like maybe their family tree doesn't have enough branches?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got your all kinds of weird physiological things that are happening to each other, and you're like, really, you've been around, I don't know. They reminded me of that Barkin family from West Virginia or whatever. Well, that's what I thought.
Well, that's a little much, but I was going to say maybe the royal families in the 1700s,
yes,
if
exactly.
You hear me talking.
Yeah.
Maybe too many cousins.
Exactly.
Too many, yes.
Maybe
yes.
Get out of Hyannis Port or wherever the Kennedy clan comes from. Maybe get outside the city limits for your next breeding. I mean, come on.
Hey, your half-sister is hot, but can I show you this chart?
God, when is the last gasp of giving a crap what the Kennedy family thinks gonna happen? I hope it's in my lifetime. Good Lord.
Yeah, this might be it.
But here's the big development. Well, that's one. So his family comes out and says, we're all behind Joe Biden. Okay? I don't know if that's gonna sway any votes or anything like that, but it'd be a little hurtful if I ran for president and everybody in my family came out and said, yeah, we're for the other guy.
I tell you one thing, one person we're not voting for, it's our relative.
But this is, I'll read from this newsletter today, that's that Barkin family, huh? That's what they were actually inbred. Disturbing.
I'm sorry, was that the Kennedys there, or
no.
Was that the
And so I think that
family?
Kennedy voice thing, that thing, is getting close to the Barkin family. I think that's where they're headed a couple more generations.
Noted geneticist Jack Armstrong.
Okay, enough of that. That's weirding me out.
Yeah, it's weirding everybody out.
So this is an actual real political development. This is one of the most shocking and significant developments of the 2024 presidential election to date. Kennedy's people somehow got ballot access. They've been struggling all around America. It took a surprising turn yesterday when arguably the most important state in the entire Electoral College map, when he secured ballot access in Michigan out of nowhere, not via gathering signatures to qualify from scratch on his own, but rather than nabbing the Natural Law Party slot.
Huh.
And nobody saw this coming, and somehow the Biden team missed that was out there. And so Kennedy's on the ballot in Michigan.
His folks expressed optimism that he would be on all 50 ballots. I don't know whether that's big talk or
I think that's
what.
Big talk based on the smart people that I read. There's no way he's going to do that, but he doesn't need to. He gets 5 to 10% in Michigan. Biden loses Michigan. It's really narrow right now. I mean, you know, numbers will change. We got a lot of months. But right now, I could get into it if you want to, but it's what's the point? But
sure.
If Biden loses Michigan, I mean, the path to victory gets really, really narrow, really fast. So that's a big deal that RFK Jr. is on there. And you have a lot of Democrats that don't like the support in Israel or whatever, and they don't want to vote for Trump. They got to vote for somebody.
Yeah, which is why his, let's go with quirky, family members were saying, don't vote for our guy. They're terrified of the spoiler effect, obviously.
Right. Well, RFK's on the ballot in part of the, what did I say the name of that party was? The Natural Law Party.
The Natural Law Party? Yeah, yeah. Wow.
It's weird how there are these parties that get candidates that don't represent their thing so often. So they did all the work to get on the ballot as a party. Then somebody snatches their
right, or is too attractive to turn down. The Libertarian Party's had that happen a couple of times, where it's a real stretch to call the candidate a Libertarian.
Or the Green Party, it's happened a few times too.
Yeah. So the big Columbia protests, the college kids are going nuts there and angry about something or other. We can talk about that a little bit. I thought New York did a heck of a good job dealing with it.
Yeah. A little more wood shampoo. That's what we got to do.
Oh,
huh?
Wow.
Huh?
Do you know that term, folks? It's
we
look
got
it up.
More on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals.
Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
That is the Orwellian nightmare, radical Marxist new head of NPR, Catherine Marr, who was, did I mention racist too and America hating? What a beautiful distillation of her philosophy. If the truth is getting in the way of... Play that one more time, Michael, would you?
In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
So, yes.
So you get to determine what the common ground is that we should all come to? Is that the way it works?
Yes, and what should be gotten done. Exactly. So let's put aside the truth and come together and accomplish these things I'm going to tell you we need to accomplish, like tearing down the system. And unfortunately, there are quite a few young people who have been indoctrinated in this philosophy through, heck, kindergarten through graduate school, who have believed it. Let's go with clip 48 there, NBC Nightly News.
Confrontation at Columbia. Police removing protesters from campus, citing extraordinary circumstances. Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq called in the NYPD to clear an encampment of pro-Palestinian student demonstrators. The encampment set up Wednesday morning, the same day Shafiq testified on Capitol Hill about anti-Semitism on campus.
We are risking, like, our academic standing just to, like, show the administrators that we are not okay with their decisions.
Demonstrators telling us they plan to keep their protest going despite the police presence. New York City's mayor saying police made more than 100 arrests.
They have, by the way. That is out today. A whole bunch of them got arrested, as more than 100, as you heard there. Columbia students have rebuilt the anti-Israel solidarity camp less than 24 hours after the mass arrests.
That clip of the young lady reminds me of an email we got. Why do you guys refer to these people as college kids? They're adults. When you hear that clip of that young lady, do you really think she's an adult? Maybe legally speaking, but she's got a child's understanding of the world because she's not been subjected to the busy arena of conflicting ideas, taking them on and come to an understanding of the world. No, she's just been fed propaganda. Well, just one point of view, and that's all she knows.
Listen to this little protester here.
We are Hamas!
You're Hamas, wow.
That's a good one.
You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas, eh?
Hamas!
Are those Russian assets or Chinese assets? Is that actual U.S. college students saying we're Hamas? I mean, if you want to go with no, I support the Palestinians, their land was taken. Okay, at least you got half an argument and you're, but you're Hamas?
I said the other day, and I will repeat now, that our educational system, including our terrified college administrators, have created a monster that is now turning against them. That's such a common sentiment and so well understood. People don't go with the second half because they don't need to. They just say, we've created a monster. And we have, and they're easy to dismiss as stupid snowflakes and that sort of thing, but they are many thousands, and they believe this stuff as vehemently as any of the radical youth movements of the past, see Maoist China. There was an aspect of the protests that is very, very amusing that we don't have time to squeeze in now, maybe when we come back on the other side of the break. But while this is the stuff of eye-rolling and snickering at these young morons, it's also dangerous.
Man, when Iran was hanging women for not covering their hair, it would have been nice if you could have gotten worked up at all and joined in solidarity with those young people who are protesting at risk of their lives.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop squeezing my hand! The rebar is cutting the inside of my hand! Stop prying my fingers!
The bar.
Stop prying! Stop! Stop! Stop!
Let go of the
Stop! You are hurting me!
Let go of the rebar!
He's free! He's free! He's free!
Come for the idiotic worldview and stay for the acting like a complete baby. You're squeezing my hand.
Stop squeezing my hand.
Ow, the rebar is cutting my hand. Let go of it, you moron. That's the protesters on the Golden Gate Bridge the other day. And if I'm one of the cops, I think I go with the laughing at them. I mean, seriously, dude, I'm going to tell all my friends about this and we're going to laugh all evening. I mean, that's right. How funny this is. You pretending you're hurt. All right.
Protester boy just wants video of being manhandled by the cops so he can make the establishment look like the bad guys. It's not going to work anymore. People are tired of your antics. And back to Columbia in a second, but I'm reminded of this email from Tom the Marine that I loved. If you ever want to drop us a note, please do. mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. But Tom writes, I love hearing the hypersensitive, lazy wimps throw around the R word, revolution. They refuse to put in a half work day. As a Marine, it makes me laugh. It makes me feel more secure in my freedom. Actually, fighting, not typing a mean tweet, but fighting is hard. It requires a degree of physical and mental toughness to survive that they cannot fathom. Having these doofuses rant gives me a warm, secure feeling. They don't have the work ethic necessary to overthrow a ham sandwich, which he spells sandwich. Thank you for the note, Tom the Marine, for your service. So, final note on the Columbia University protests. The one-sided propaganda spewing leftist universities have created a monster that is now attacking them, as monsters tend to do. And Columbia's notable for being a wildly progressive neo-Marxist, institution. And look what you have wrought, friends. Anyway, this is too good to not share with you. So pro-Palestinian protesters told the Columbia Spectator, that's the big university paper, that they had been sprayed with a crowd control chemical developed by the Israeli Defense Forces at a rally. Mainstream media amplified the allegations, and Columbia suspended the student involved in the chemical attack. And the student had previously served in the IDF.
Mm.
and they suspended him almost immediately. The narrative writes the Free Beacon was a progressive fever dream at one of the best universities in the country. An Israeli student had deployed chemical weapons against peaceful student protesters for challenging the depredations of the Zionist state. And the Columbia president, same gal who testified pretty effectively in front of Congress the other day, credit where it's due, repeated this claim at a meeting of the university senate, and I quote, "Demonstrators were sprayed with a toxic chemical." Well, the student is now countersuing, and it appears that the toxic chemical was, if you'll excuse me, a harmless fart spray purchased on Amazon.com for $26.11.
My kids.
Hard fart primary.
One of my kids had that. Yeah, it's disgusting.
According to a lawsuit filed against Columbia on Tuesday, the suspended student had in fact dispersed, I'm going to change the name, just because we do have some standards of good taste around here.
Is that new?
He had indeed dispersed liquid arse, a gag gift for adults and kids, according to its product description.
A gag is the right term.
L.A. We'll just refer to it as. He's made the substance.
First literal gag gift. You made me gag.
He sprayed the substance in the air, not in any particular individual, in what the lawsuit describes as, quote,
okay, I need more time. That's the worst name for a product I've ever heard.
I would agree. Again, and those listeners of more sensitive dispositions, I apologize, but yes, he sprayed liquid ass in the air in what the lawsuit describes as a, quote, harmless expression of speech. The result was a swift suspension for which the student is now suing, alleging the university, quote, rushed to silence plaintiff and brand him as a criminal through biased misconduct proceedings. I will not be purchasing nor deploying L.A. anytime soon.
Wow.
Can we restore sanity to some of these fevered young people? Will they grow up and out of this? Fringe movements have come and gone in the past. I certainly hope so. That's enough of that. Now on to different fare.
So last night, I was going to make hamburgers outside. And in the midst of it, I was reminded, as I always am, how much I hate it. And I took a picture of my grill with the spatula and the burgers, and I tweeted it out. And I tweeted that, what did I say? It's up there on the screen.
You are a man who hates grilling.
I'm the only male in America who hates grilling. I loathe it. I would pay a large sum of money to never have to do it again in my life. I have no idea why. I do hate it. I hate everything about grilling. I'm bad at it, wow. And I hate it. I'm probably bad at it because I hate it, and I have no interest in getting better. I just wish I'd never have to do it again, and I don't know why, and I'm embarrassed by it. And I told both my boys, I said, hey, you have a girlfriend, wife. They're going to expect you to be able to grill and do it well. Do not follow in my footsteps. This is not good, but it's just a weakness I have for some reason. I can do some other things pretty good. I can fix a whole bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. But I can't grill, and I don't want to grill. I look at men who enjoy it, and like it's like a foreign species to me. Yes, Michael.
What exactly is the problem? Do you burn the stuff?
No, I hate doing it. Sometimes I do burn it because I have no interest in doing it. It's just like I don't particularly like cleaning the toilet. I feel like it's a task like that. Anyway,
maybe you can get a testicle transplant from a donor.
I know. We got 150. It's the least manly thing. I mean, I hate to admit it out loud. It's definitely the least manly thing about me is that I hate grilling so much. I got 100.
You do you, sweetheart.
My son's really into that now. Every time I do anything. Yeah, you do you. 152 responses to my grilling tweet, but a couple of them. Maybe if you didn't grill like a runaway teenager or a crackhead, you might come to enjoy it. That was a comment on my tiny little grill and my weak-ass spatula. Everybody commenting.
It is a little bum camping. Yes.
If you didn't grill like a runaway teenager or a crackhead, I thought that was pretty funny. It is a pretty pathetic-looking grill. It's the tiny little grill that sits down on the ground. And
you've
then,
made an investment commensurate with your enjoyment of it, I guess.
True. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, if I was into it, I'd come up with a reason to justify in my mind why I got the $1,000 grill, like lots of dudes do. But I haven't. And another response, why I hate it, because you're gay. Same reason you support wars. Thought that was interesting.
Wow, that's some really solid reasoning. Thanks for sharing, friend.
So, yeah.
Wow. If that was art, that's really good art. I mean, if that was like tongue-in-cheek, you got me.
And then one other thing, talk about apropos of nothing. This really comes out of nowhere. I couldn't sleep last night. I've been waking up at like 1:32 in the morning and then staying awake. It's because of my sins and my horrible decisions in my life, I guess. But I wake up a lot. So last night I got to reading on something that I had gotten into a while ago. And it was about the development through evolution of the eye.
Oh.
And there's some new knowledge about the development of the eye that I thought was really interesting. First of all, I didn't know this. Darwin wrote in Origin of the Species that the idea of natural selection producing the eye seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest possible degree. Even Darwin didn't think that he could explain. He said, the eye to this day gives me a cold shudder, he once wrote to a friend. His whole natural selection thing that he pushed and it caught on and everything like that. He said, but I can't come up with how the eye would ever happen. And they now believe that the eye, not only did I always assumed, that we're all living off kind of like one eye. It somehow was some freak of evolution and, you know, way, 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 way back some organism and then it kind of spread out and we all have the same eye. But they think the eye developed independently at least 60 times, like completely independently in some organism. It wasn't like picking up on all the work done by generations of evolution from some other line of organism. It developed independently, which I find fascinating.
Otherwise there would have to be like a coupling between some sort of 100 million years ago lizard and 100 million years ago monkey.
But I just assumed it went back further. Well, it actually does go back way further than that. We're talking like bacteria and stuff like that. There's been life on planet Earth. Earth's about 4 billion years old. There's been life on planet Earth, they think, for about 3.8 billion of those years. Nobody has any idea how it started or if it could ever start anywhere else in the universe. And that's just as fascinating as anything could be. But so life started with just some, like, you know, tiny little algae, bacteria, minuscule things. And very quickly, some of them, for some reason, realized that sunlight helped them grow and survive and that there would be a benefit to knowing when there is sunlight or where the sunlight is. So it was just a perception of light. And it went from there with the development of the eyeball that has, again, developed separately and all kinds of different things.
And now women in particular are having painful and expensive procedures to change the color of their eyes to be more attractive, sometimes sacrificing their vision.
I got to admit, that had popped into my head many times about the evolution of how did we ever come to, how do we ever, but and even Darwin was very confused about that. But they got into, in this scientific magazine, I was reading, the hundreds of thousands of generations of evolution that it would take, even in some sort of algae, for the eye to go from can sense sunlight to maybe having some sort of lens-like thing that could see a little better. Next thing you know, you're walking around blinking with two eyes.
Yeah, I think part of the reason people have a difficult time comprehending this stuff is that we can't conceive of that amount of time.
Right. That is the missing element in all of these things, is the 3.8 billion years is a long time for something to very, very slowly happen. That's why when we're talking about stuff like how is the human mind going to adapt to smartphones and social media, we don't have 100,000 generations to work that out.
Right. Yeah, not even like a full generation. Bingo bongo, all of a sudden it's there. Yeah.
So they've reset up their pro-Hamas camp there outside of Columbia University. It'll be interesting to see if they crack down on it today, if they let it, you know, get a toehold. As we learned in Seattle with, what was that thing called?
Chaz.
Oh.
Chaz.
And then it turned into something else. It was their self-administered freedom zone that quickly degenerated.
And Portland had something like that, too. As we've learned over the years, and maybe the going way back to the Occupy Wall Street people in various cities, if you let these protests get a toehold, then it becomes a lot harder to dislodge them. Then you're going to have to use even more force and have more of a spectacle. And I just wonder if the cops are going to show up there outside of Columbia and take care of this quickly today so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, they arrested, what, a couple hundred students, protesters yesterday?
But
that's
back.
The way to deal with it.
But they're back already. Why aren't they in jail? Because they don't put anybody in jail.
Right.
We'll be keeping an eye
on
that.
You can stab a bodega owner and not go to jail. So, yeah, chanting at Columbia won't get you in jail.
Text line if you want to weigh in on any of these things, 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All that information about eyeballs. Got this text. I have an eye problem today. I couldn't see myself going to work. That's funny.
That is funny.
That's
well played, my friend.
Probably 100 years old.
Got a couple of stories about the hot new weight loss drugs, one of which is it involves influencers, online social media influencers, which reminds me, watching Special Report with Brett Baer last night on Fox News, TikTok is advertising heavily. Going with a lot of, I use TikTok to help veterans out and to help people buy flags made in America and blah, blah, blah. So they're really leaning on that angle. I don't care if St. Peter himself has a TikTok account and he's using it to bring people to the Lord. It's still a tool of Chinese propaganda and surveillance, and it's got to go. Having said that, Wall Street Journal. Influencers love Ozempic, but they aren't telling you about the risks. And they go through several stories of influencers talking about how much they're loving it and they're losing weight and how to deal with some of the side effects, blah, blah, blah. But then they give a bunch of examples like this Karen Evans, who's gotten almost 500,000 views.
Wow.
Talking about tips for Ozempic, including managing the nausea. She hasn't followed up with a new video disclosing that the vomiting became so bad that she stopped using the drug. I was throwing up randomly. It was destroying my life, she said in an interview.
You hate to throw up randomly. I prefer my that activity to be fairly predictable and infrequent.
Certainly associated with various activities or overindulgence, what have you. Here's another one. Brittany Buckner, a travel influencer, usually posts about plus-size clothing and travel under the handle of plus-sized and outside, told her more than 58,000 Instagram followers about her use of the weight loss drug after telehealth service Roe, that's R-O, paid her to promote its weight loss prescription program. She got the partnership after searching through a site that connects influencers with brands. Under the arrangement, Buckner, who was taking a different drug at the time, told followers that she didn't get the medication from Roe, but I wish I had gone through them to get it. Roe paid Buckner to film two videos, which it posted later on social media, blah, blah, blah. In reality, Buckner hadn't been able to fill her prescription for Wegovy because of supply constraints. She hadn't taken the drug for months and didn't even attempt to do so through Roe. So it was just made up, essentially. And these influencers who are your friend and look how pretty they are, blah, 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 they're not doctors. They're not even pharmacists. They're nothing.
So I feel like Ozempic has become the catch-all name for all these products. So it's kind of like Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand, but you all tissues you call Kleenex. Because there's this thing called plastic surgeons warn of Ozempic face. Well, I think they probably mean all the weight loss drugs, not just Ozempic. But that's the idea that you lose weight so fast. It's a big deal in Hollywood. You lose weight so fast, you get a lot of dangling skin, and then people got to get it operated on. One of the reason this is in my mind, I know a guy, I haven't asked him, but he's clearly lost a bunch of weight recently, and he looks 15 years older. It's just a drag that you lose weight, you look older.
You can, yeah.
If you're over a certain age, if you're 25, you don't, but...
Yeah, and I wanted to get to this, too, in the time that we have remaining. The blockbuster medications, Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, rolled out to millions to lose weight and appear to be causing other unexpected effects. Now, this is from the Daily Mail, which usually does pretty good journalism. Some patients have reported a dulling of emotion and even suicidal thoughts.
Oh, my God.
While others have reported plummeting libido and diminished sensation during sex.
I ain't worth losing weight.
Some have seen it cure addictions, too. People who had consistently had a couple of drinks every evening found they had zero desire to drink alcohol on the medication. Okay. Others found their shopaholicism diminishing. On the other hand, experts say there may be an explanation. They say it's all to do with the drug's impact on a masterful brain chemical that determines pretty much every human behavior. It could alter your entire personality.
Wow.
And we don't have time to get into the specific neuro chemistry of the thing, but it might be doing more than just making you less hungry.
I can't experience joy or have an orgasm, but at least I'm thin.
Armstrong and Getty.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.